the house of
Amen.
The Lord.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yes, 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 yes. We take God with us wherever we go, but it's always nice when we can come together and just set the world aside and just focus on Him
Amen.
For a while and just set our burdens down, whatever else. So let's do what the Bible says this morning. Why don't we all stand and go before the Lord in prayer? And let's yes. lift up our hands to Him. And the reason that Jesus. We do that is to just to worship, just to surrender to Him this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You. We come before the throne of grace, and we just thank You, Lord, for Your excellent, yes. abundant mercies yes, on us Lord. Today, God. Lord, I pray that You would touch each and every one that's here today, God.
Yes,
Lord, I pray that there would be healing in the house today,
yes,
God.
Lord,
I pray that You would just speak to us. Open our eyes, uncloud our hearts and our understanding, God, so that we can look right into heaven, right into Your eyes. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us as we worship today. God, I just want to give You my worship as a gift, God. I just want to give it to You because You are so richly deserving of it. In
yes.
Jesus' name,
yes.
amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's like this very upscale person goes into a neighborhood and looks to see what kind of volunteer areas there are and all of this stuff. And then they're there for a whole week, and they're only given an X amount of dollars to spend for that week. And then at the end, they give away money to all of these foundations or whatever they find to work in, you know, to look at. And it just reminded me, they go in this place, this neighborhood, this area, and they're looking for what, you know, looking for bad, looking for why is this place got a foundation? Well, because the kids are on the street if we don't have it, or, you know, why are you doing the soup kitchen? Well, if we don't, then the homeless won't have anything to eat. And so they're looking for this. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Like, God's everywhere. If we look for him, we have opportunity to look for anything we want. But if we know that his glory is rising up all around and we want to go and see it, we will see it. We will. We have to have the correct attitude before going out there. And we have to have the correct attitude, but
Yeah, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I don't know very much scripture. I can't say that. I can't, you know. Everybody has an excuse. But let me just tell you something. Everybody needs love. Everybody. And they will know if you're authentic or not with the love of Christ. They will. So can we just sing that last couple of chorus things one more time?
Come flood this place and raise our voice. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lisa, for joining us. Awesome. What? Yeah. Yeah, he's not doing the light, so we're good. Sometimes he puts a light right there and love you guys. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a little different. I have to definitely look this way. Praise the Lord. Well, how's everyone doing? Good. Well, we're back on our John book, 1 John, or John chapter 1, sorry. And I was just telling Jesse, I think there's only two more sections left because now we're kind of into more of like a story framework. So instead of all this great theology, which has anybody learned something new from our going through the first chapter of John? I mean, I have. You have? Good. What was it? Don't put her on the spot. That's no good. I couldn't tell you necessarily what. Oh, no, there was one thing that I learned was, and it's actually spoken here again, so I won't steal the thunder. But I'll let Gay read these. I only got three that you have to introduce, so maybe you shouldn't actually read all the way through 42. Read all the way through 42. So
what?
That's a lot.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Okay. So we're reading John 1:29 through 40. What did you say?
John 29.
Or is it 35 through 42?
35 through 42.
Oh, praise the Lord.
But you want to recap though, so we have the context. So yeah, so it is 29 through 42.
I'm reading 29 through 42, right?
Yeah, because you read so much better than I do.
Okay, babe. All right, here we go. John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" 31. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from the heavens like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." God, that's so powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
"Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples." Now, not two of Jesus' disciples, but two of his disciples, John's disciples.
Very good.
"Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Wouldn't that be great if that's all we had to say and people would follow the Lord? Isn't that, I mean, just one statement and they followed him. Boy, there's a sermon there. Anyway, then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated as teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak followed him, Jesus, and was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas or Caiaphas?"
Cephas.
Cephas, which is translated a stone. Is that it?
That's it.
Good.
Very good. You did fantastic. I could not have done that well. So what I was going to say is one of the revelations that I've learned is how how powerful it was that John was communicating, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that revelation that obviously that he had and had received from God the Father about Christ, about Jesus. And so it says here, and again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples. So we're gonna learn and discover here, as we read, maybe you've already caught it, that one of Jesus' disciples, at least, we know, Andrew, right, was a disciple of John. He wasn't just a fisherman out there, just fishing. He had already been discipled by John. And when John communicated the fact that this is the Lamb of God, this is the Lamb of God, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. I think that's why what he said was so impactful. Because I think when you think of John was the one that was preparing the way for Messiah, that his disciples were being prepared for Messiah. I mean, there's a point when John's in prison and it sounds like he's on his own, and he sends some of his disciples say, "Well, are you really the Christ? Are you?" And he's starting to question it.
"Get me out of here.
Get me out of here." But I think his disciples had already gone, because he had decreased to the point where his time on earth was pretty much done. Anyway, I digress. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" Now, how many know that Jesus knew what they were seeking? He knew it. But Jesus likes to communicate to us in such a way that he gets us to communicate to him. He likes us to get the revelation that he already knows is inside of us. And so they said to him, "Rabbi," which is say teacher, "where are you staying?" In other words, where are you at? What is the location of the Lamb of God? What is the location of the Messiah? Can you let us in on this? And Jesus says, "Come and see. You're free to come." So they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. I think it's like about 4:00. Yeah, so just for you guys, just a little idea. In the Jewish world, the day pretty much starts zero at 6 a.m. So like the ninth hour was like 3 p.m. Is that right? Six, yeah. And maybe I'm wrong, 10th hour. Anyway, it's probably around 4:00. I digress. So one of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So Peter's brother was a disciple of John the Baptist. Did you guys know that? One of the disciples of Jesus was a disciple of John the Baptist. This kind of gets overlooked in the other three Gospels because you kind of see Jesus showing up on the scene and, he's talking to these fishermen in this boat and it seems like that's the very first time he's introduced to them. But we're getting the very first time that they were made aware of who Jesus was. The day he walked up to them when they were fishing, they already knew who he was. Didn't you ever think like, boy, that was some nerve of Jesus just say, "I'm going to step in your boat and you're going to cast out so that I can preach to these people"? It's because he knew them. Okay. And then it says, he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And today's message is called, what is it called? You will be called. Thank you. I didn't want to say, "So you will be called." You will be called. And so, 142, here we go. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah." Simon, son of Barjona, sometimes is translated. "But you are Simon, son of Jonah." Now, this was revelation that he was communicating to Simon. He was saying, "I know your name. I know who your father is. But now, Simon, you're going to be called something else. You're going to be called Cephas." And that word Cephas means stone. It goes along with the Greek word Petros, which is Peter's name as he becomes Peter the disciple. So Simon becomes Peter. And as you'll see through the scriptures, he's sometimes referred to as Cephas. That's an Aramaic name. That's why you're going, okay, why is it Cephas? Why is it Petros? Why is it Peter? Which name is correct? Well, one is Aramaic, Cephas, and one is actually probably Hebrew in origin.
So Andrew actually became a disciple or followed the Lord before Simon did?
Yes. Who did?
Andrew, his brother.
Andrew became his first disciple. Andrew was Jesus' first disciple. We don't have the other one named, but Andrew was the first disciple. Isn't it interesting? It's amazing what happens. You read the Bible.
It's also interesting that he became Jesus' first witness disciple. You know what I mean? Not just a disciple who followed him, but a witness who witnessed all his brothers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You mean when he went to the tomb? Absolutely, right?
Well, no, when he went and told his brother.
Oh, when he went and told his brother. Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
Right.
Got
yeah.
you. And I have that.
Don't.
You're smart.
You're ahead of us.
You could preach this. So we have this communication by Jesus, you shall be called. Now, I think the key that I want us to get here is not just that, you know, Peter was being called as a disciple, but that Jesus called him something because he saw something. And most of us do not see ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves in a diminished state. We see ourselves in a less than godly state. And I mean, sometimes we act that way. I mean, sometimes you can say, wow, that's really ungodly. So I mean, sometimes we do, but God sees us in Christ. He sees us the way that God's power through the Holy Spirit can make us. And so when he was calling Simon Cephas, obviously his life was not at that place where he was that stone. But God saw in him who he could be. And so that's what I want us to think about today. So let's look at Isaiah. Now we're going to go back into the Old Testament and look at some other "so you shall be called." So this is talking about a lot of you know, individuals, you know, quote this directly for Christians, which, you know, we can appropriate a promise. But this is really talking to Israel. And he says, I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors as at the beginning. Because previous to this, he says there's going to be, you know, bad times. Things are coming. Things aren't, you know, you've been doing stuff that's all wrong, and because of that, there's going to be judgment. But then I will restore after that your judges as at first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. And so God was communicating to them, you're really, you know, through Isaiah, you're really in a bad spot. You're going to be judged for it. But eventually, because of my plans for you, I'm going to restore you. And you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. And then Isaiah 58:12, we have another communication. And this again is to the people of Israel. And you'll hear this quoted for Christians. And we can appropriate God's promises. He's no respecter of persons. So we can take a promise. I mean, unless it doesn't apply to a person at all. But we can apply this to our lives because in Christ, we help bring fulfillment to promises to Israel. So those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. I think that's very applicable to Christians. But again, this was a direct message at that time to Israel. And you shall be called, after you had waste places, after you needed foundations re-raised, and the foundations of many generations restored, then you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
But they didn't see themselves as that.
Well,
at that point, did they?
Well, Isaiah was a prophet that was really during semi-prosperous times for Israel. You know, Hezekiah and some other kings, you know, where there, I'm trying to remember the one king that was the king of pride, where Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, that king died. So, but Isaiah really was a king. I mean, it was a prophet during the kings when Israel seemed to be doing okay. You know, Jerusalem seemed to be doing fine. They were just doing things that were going to cause judgment. And so he was communicating at times the judgment that was coming. But then after that judgment would come restoration. But what I'm trying to get us to communicate, get us to understand here is that through the prophet Isaiah, he was telling them what they would be called. God was saying, you will look like this, but you're going to be called. See, we are called by a name. You know, I don't know the name. But there's a name that God has for me that is who I am in my full identity in Christ. We have a name. God calls us by a name. He calls us by our name, of course, we have now. But that name is the identity of the fulfilled, I believe, individual that we're called to be fully in Christ. Does that make sense? So when Peter was getting that name Cephas, that was his name as the Apostle Peter, not the Peter trying to find his way, you know, through and navigating through, you know, the trials where he was basically denying the Lord three times. He probably didn't feel like a stone, you know, that was going to help build the foundations of the church. As a matter of fact, he was running away and probably didn't want to see Jesus, but he was asked for him by name. Go ahead.
I have wheels turning. I'm just saying that it seems to me like in this day and age of the church that the enemy has stolen that from us, or tried to steal that from us.
Our identity. Exactly.
And so we are having an identity crisis as the church. And so what happens is either we believe what God says about us or we don't. And again, he is so gracious, he gives us a choice. He really does. And we can choose to believe that about ourselves. How many here has been in like a prophetic type assembly where these guys come and they speak a word over you? How many of you guys have been here when that's happened?
Had that done at all, prophetic word over them?
Panda, were you here when we did that? Okay. There's a lot of words that were spoken over all of us at that time. And they have not been fulfilled, I believe, more from the standpoint of that the enemy has tried to take that from us, more than that we've not walked in it. We believe that we're not worthy enough to have it, so the enemy gets a hold of us and says, oh yeah, you're not worthy, you can't do that.
Or he brings trials and tribulations our way that chokes that word, which is a prophetic word.
A lot. And if he can, he will. So if he's standing in front of, or if he's taken your call, take it back. You have the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You have the power to say, back off. That's my calling. That's my name. That's what God has for me.
That's my identity.
That's my identity. And I don't think that, I don't think we're doing that like we should be. I don't think that we are as possessive of what God has for us as we should be. Because fear and everything, you know, that the enemy knows is going to trip us up, he pushes it in the forefront. But we have to decide what voice we're really going to listen to and obey.
Exactly. Amen. So Isaiah 62:4, here's another one. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate. Again, this is Isaiah, the one who was prophesying this before they were going to go through the tough times. But he says, you shall be called Hezbollah. Yeah, there you go. Hezbollah. I can't pronounce it very well. And your land, Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, that's what Hezbollah means, and your land shall be married. Beulah means marriable one. So this is God communicating again to Israel his desire for them. Even after he's going to judge them, and they're going to be forsaken, they're going to be desolate. I mean, those are bad things. You know, when Israel was first coming back, I mean, you know, they were ravaged. I mean, you know, their temple was just pretty much destroyed, and their city walls were in ruins. And so it was a forsaken, desolate place, and that's because they did not obey God's heart. They married themselves to another, idolatry, their own ways, not caring about the innocent and the orphans and the widows. Their hearts were after themselves and to please themselves. And because of that, they were judged. But God said, you shall be called alternative to what it looks like. Do you think maybe that helped the Ezra and those coming to rebuild the temple to know, wait a minute, God's going to call us something else, even though this looks bad? So if your life looks bad, God's got another name. He's got another identity than the identity that it looks like you're in. Okay, let's go ahead and look at some of these other times that Jesus communicated to Peter, because again, I think it gives you an idea of where Peter was at the time when Jesus called him Cephas or a stone or Petros or Peter. Luke 5, 1 through 11. So it's going to be a lot of reading. Do you want to read?
So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of
Gennesaret.
Okay. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And as they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him.
So again, here we have, I believe after the fact, Peter, who had previously met Jesus and been called Cephas by Jesus, you shall be called Cephas, now has an interaction with him on this sea. And they were fishing, and Jesus came and did some teaching and got into the boat. And afterwards, he charged them to go ahead and put down their nets, even though they had been fishing all night. And Peter, in obedience, puts his nets down. And of course, we know it took both boats to reel it in. But do you see what happened here is that Peter communicates not Cephas. He communicates Simon. He communicates the old man. Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. I mean, with the miracle that he saw, he goes, okay, wow, you are the Messiah. You're the Christ. I don't know if he didn't get it back then or if he just said, we're going to wait and see. But obviously he got it there. And he goes, listen, my identity, you don't know, I'm not worthy of this. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. From now on, Peter, he could have said, from now on, Cephas, you're going to catch men. Simon Barjona is no longer going to exist. You're going to be Peter. You're going to be Cephas. I see something in you that no one else sees, Peter. You don't even see it. Your father doesn't see it. None of your friends see it. But Peter, there's a Godhood inside of you that you don't know about. And I'm going to raise it up in you. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through struggles. The devil's going to try to sift you like wheat. Now, I'm paraphrasing what Jesus could have said to him at the time. But he just tells him, you're going to be a fisher of men. He identifies Peter as the disciple Peter, not as Simon, the son of Barjona, the fisherman.
Okay, so this is probably one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. And the reason that I like it is because when the Lord gave a revelation to me about this portion of scripture, it was so not me and so him that I have never forgotten it. And so when in verse 3, when it says he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat, the multitudes were the people up on shore, right? When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, who was the head captain of the boat, you know, push out into the deep. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And what the Lord, I believe, gave me all those years ago was, we can either be one of the multitude, or we can be close enough to him as Peter or whoever else is in the boat, that he's going to take us a little bit deeper. Our knowledge of him and our wonder of him and our love of him, it's going to be a little deeper. But people, let me just say, I believe it's choice again. I believe it's choice. And see, the whole thing about it is that we all long to be Simon that goes out into the deep, but we don't want to leave our safety area. Because we're safety, we need safe. We need, you know, when I get in a boat, there is no land underneath my feet. But if you don't get in the boat, all you're going to get is the land beneath your feet.
Amen. Matthew 16:13-19.
When Jesus came into the region of
Caesarea Philippi.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can add another S in there, but it's.
He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, now these are just his people, but who do you say that I am? And, hold on. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. I love that. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I don't know where 19 is. Is it in there?
Yeah, you just did it. Yeah, and then the final 42.
That's John. This is going from Matthew to John.
Oh,
you want
I just
me to read that?
No, what happened there?
Did you send me the wrong thing?
Oh, whatever you bound on earth, you're right. I'm wrong. She's right. Whatever will be loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So let's go ahead and look at this from the beginning. So this is when Jesus is walking along the road with his disciples. It's most likely getting very, very close to the time that he's going to be being crucified. And He's hearing, you know, different things probably from, you know, people all around. And he's asking his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they say, oh, some say you're John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had been killed. Now, I don't know how they could say that, because John the Baptist and Jesus were alive. So they really had bad information. Some said Elijah. Because Elijah was supposedly come before Messiah. Some said Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to him, but who do you say that I am? And this is a key. Who do you say that I am? Because, you know, you're talking about a revelation that you had previous. A revelation that I received years ago was that you can have opinions or you can have understanding, knowledge of Jesus by everyone else. And who Jesus is to Hopi, and who Jesus is to Rowdy, and who Jesus is to Pandit, and who Jesus is to Dean. And you can hear about all of their relationships of who Jesus is to them. But who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that I am? Now, obviously, this was talking about him being the Messiah, but this illustration really plays true for all of us. Mm-hmm. Who is God to us? Who is Jesus to us? Is he just our Lord and Savior? Or is he also the one that empowers us to live a holy life? Is he the one that is seated at the right hand of the Father, constantly making intercession for us? See, who is Jesus? Who do you say that I am for you?
The Lord was just slamming this into my head. Or are you the one that says, it's the Sunday partner, go to church with me, Jesus? But what about the rest of the week? Because it's in between the weeks is what, the weekends is what matters, in between the Sundays. Sunday to Sunday, in between is what matters. Because that's the real you when you're in your room or you're driving your car or you're where you're by yourself and all of these thoughts are rushing in and all of this what ifs and everything, all of that's coming into you. It's Jesus wants to know, who am I to you Sunday in between there? Who am I? And only we can answer that question.
You keep coming with these deep ones. Speaking about into the deep. Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter." He could have said, "You are Cephas," but he said this time, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, before I read the next part, I want to communicate to you that again, this is God, Jesus, communicating to Peter who he is in his Christness, in his Christ state. He is communicating you, like he said at that time, you're Simon Barjona, way back into John when he first met him. You're going to be called Cephas, which is translated stone. Mm-hmm. Here again, he's communicating not just because some say, oh, he got this name because he got the revelation that Jesus was Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. No, that's not why he got the name way back there. But what he was communicating is, Peter, you're on target. And I'm reminding you, you're going to be called Peter because you're connected. Flesh and blood didn't give this to you, Peter. The Holy Spirit, my Father's heaven, gave this to you. You got the download. And Peter, that's why you're Peter. You're connected. See, Peter had a moment where he operated even before, you know, the time that, you know, he says, you know, I don't know him. No. That guy, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I'm talking about the time he denied him three times. And then finally a little girl says, no, I recognize you're with them all. And he cusses and then says, no, I don't know him, and went away. I mean, mm-hmm. Says he swears. So what I'm saying is that this is a moment when Peter is being Peter and he's getting this download. Mm-hmm. And there's times when we act like who we are in Christ, and we get a download, and God says yes, and Holy Spirit in us that seals us says yes and confirms, yes, you're doing the right thing. But then the next day you can do something, and well, like Peter, we didn't keep reading this, Peter, the next two verses down, what ends up happening is Jesus saying, and listen, guys, I got some bad news for you, and you know, it's good news for the world and it's great, but for you, it's not good news, but I'm going to be turned over into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be beaten and tortured, and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, who just was Peter, now says, oh, no, Lord, far be it from us to let that happen. You know, You know, like he said before, we're going to die with you. I mean, he said, you're not going to be crucified, because guess what? He was no longer acting. He was no longer in that download. He was now operating from the natural man. And Jesus had the audacity to say, get behind me, Satan. You can read it. It's just a few verses down. So one minute you're Peter and you're going to be part of this revelation that I'm the Christ and my church is going to be built upon this and the gates of hell will not even be able to stand against it. And then a couple verses later, guess what, Peter? Actually, get behind me, Satan, because that's not the will of God. You don't know the will of God. Anybody else do that? One moment in the zone and the next moment, not even, you know, foul ball way off for a baseball illustration. Strike three or, I mean, it's like, what happened? Well, it's because Peter was a work in progress, just like all of us are. But just as Peter was called and he had a specific name, just as Saul became Paul, he had a specific name. We have a name that we don't know, but we have a nature and a character, a divine nature that is uniquely identified in each and every one of us. When we all take on that divine nature, we don't all look the same. We don't all think the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all have the exact same temperament. You know, we're still going to be individuals, but we all are called to be his, and we're called to be used by him. We're called to let his glory shine through us. We were singing that one song, sending us out, light in a broken land. Light in a broken land. We are light to a dark world. And it says that of Jesus, that his light was penetrating the darkness. Mm-hmm. Kingdom setting in darkness saw great light, and that light penetrated that darkness. That's who we are now. And he brought him to Jesus, and now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated as stone. I just encourage all of you to hear who God calls you. To hear from the Father, not from someone else, not from maybe your past successes in ministry or failures. Or maybe no ministry at all, and so you don't even think you have a name that is to be used by God or an identity that is to be used by God. But I guarantee if you will let the Lord speak to your heart, mm-hmm. He will communicate to you. Maybe someone else will prophetically get it. Maybe someone else in your life's already kind of saying, you know, I see this in you. I don't understand it, but I see it. And they're getting a godly download of possibly who you are in Christ. But hear it for yourself so that no matter what your natural life looks like, you don't have to line up with that. You can be who you're called. Mm-hmm. Amen? Does anybody have any questions or comments? Anyway, that's what we do. Rowdy, come. Can we hear you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You were using Isaiah and...
Isaiah 1 and 58 and 60.
And how that was a time of peace and little resistance.
Little resistance, yep.
In Jerusalem, in Israel, and...
And Judah, yeah.
And during time of peace and little resistance is the time that we stray.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time that we rely upon ourselves and not look toward God until the time gets rough.
Right.
Or life.
They become too complacent.
Right.
That's what Peter was doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
When there was no resistance, he leaned back on Simon Bar Jonah.
Right. Right. And we know that even later on, even after the Holy Spirit came and, you know, and he became Petros, Peter, that, you know, that was his name that he was known by, Cephas by others. We know that even there he as probably things were getting, you know, I don't know, lighter at the time, but I mean, he ends up, you know, causing some of the Greeks who Paul was associated with to stumble, because, you know, he started basically eating with them when he was traveling there, and they were probably eating their food, because Peter was very much encouraged by God. Listen, what I call clean is clean. And no longer call these things unclean. Well, that time has changed. You can read about that in Acts chapter 12, 11. Yeah, just before he meets Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit was communicating to him, listen, you thought that Gentiles were unclean. I'm calling them clean, which pretty much opened the whole door for them eating, you know, different food that was totally barred from them eating. And so he would eat with them, and then later on, when the Jews came, he'd go eat with the Jews. Not going to associate with them, you know. And so he wasn't acting like Petros anymore. He was acting like Simon. And so we all have our tendency to lean on our own understanding, and when we do that, we end up becoming in that old identity.
Right.
That's why it says, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. I believe that that is a communication to hear what God calls you.
But you have to let God be close enough that he can direct your path, because in that scripture, it speaks as if he's behind our heels, picking our foot up and placing our foot down. You have to be close enough to God for him to be able to do that.
Or he's standing behind you whispering, turn this way, turn that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, anyone else? Praise the Lord. That was good, Robbie. Thank you. Yeah, complacency and ease can be very dangerous to a walk with God. Not to say that we shouldn't enjoy life when things are going well, but normally we have a habit of, when things are going well, to not think of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone else? No one? Okay. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are called. And just as Simon, son of Jonah at that time, didn't realize who he was, Lord, there are some of us, and even all of us at times, Lord, struggle in certain ways of being able to fully grasp who you call us. Lord, it may not be by name, Lord, but it is by a character and it's by a nature. And that is the nature of Christ. That's the character of Christ. Lord, that we are to be transformed into your likeness. That's who we're called to be. And Lord, I know that many of us struggle at times based on our behavior and what we do and how we act and what we say and what we think that seem to disqualify us, Lord, from that calling. But just as Peter, even though he in the scriptures he is marked, Lord, as the one that continues to mess up, Lord, he kept going, and he kept pressing in, because you chased after him. And I believe you're chasing after all of us, Lord, that you're not going to let us slip into our own ways, Lord, that even when we do that, just as Israel did, Lord, you're going to bring us back, and you're going to call us blessed ones and righteous ones and loved ones and ones that can be married. Lord, we just thank you that you are greater than our failures. You are greater than our weaknesses. Your love, Lord, cannot be separated from us. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Seriously, no more questions. I thought somebody would have a question. Okay, well, God bless you all. Have a great day. Stay cool in the 100-degree weather. And bless you and love you.